Jesus is the joy of the whole world. Jesus is the joy of the whole world. If there's nothing we can take away this morning from this service, just I want you to think about, I wish by any chance all of us can just disappear here now, boom, and reappear where these people who play this music, where they come from, and see this energy and this joy that was radiating on their faces. You can't imagine why these people will always say that Jesus is the joy of the whole world. When your government disappoints you, when your friends disappoint you, when everything around you, nowhere out, it seems that you are corner, you're hitched on a corner, somebody held you tight on a corner, there's nowhere to break out. This, brothers and sisters here said, in the midst of that situation, Jesus is the joy of the whole world. And so I don't know what you're going through this morning. And first, I want to welcome you to this Habakkuk Sunday. Thank you for our choir, these brothers and sisters who put up this classic music this morning for us with all hymns. I want to thank them for that. And so please, could you bow down your head with me before we open up the scripture? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning because of whom you are. The Bible says that the entrance of your word giveth light. And David said, Lord, your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Father, the purpose of coming here this morning is not for this, your wonderful children, to listen to me, because you know I have nothing to give to them. But I want them, Lord Jehovah, to listen to you. And Father, I ask you that, Lord, you will speak to us, because we know that Jesus, he is the joy of the whole world. Thank you for that statement. We know that is the Bible, and we believe it in our hearts, that Jesus, you are the joy of the whole world. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Thank you this morning. I know you may be wondering, what is Habakkuk Sunday? Most of us that are missionaries who travel so many times, we travel around the world. Most of our missionaries are here. Some of them are over there. And sometimes the Lord has blessed us with a lot of cultural heritage that we carried around like carrying something in a basket. And so we are really privileged to be a part of this church family. And I can tell you that from time to time, as one of your missionaries, something begins to steer into our hearts. With my family, sometimes we have something in this basket, something like a gift we want to share with our church. Lord, how can we share it with our church? Because we know our church is a church of a different culture. We come from a different culture. How could we share it to them that they will understand it? Sometimes the Lord knows how to work it out. The Habakkuk Sunday, when we serve Christ in overseas, from time to time, when we look at the situations, when we look at the atmosphere, when we look at what is happening on in our society, we begin to pray, say, Lord, how can we wake up the consciousness? How can we stir up the church to be able to capture what God probably is doing or probably what God is about to do? So when you hear about this service, Habakkuk service, it's a service this morning. I will give you opportunity to listen to the voice of God. The word Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a wrestler. In fact, the meaning of the word Habakkuk in the Hebrew, it means one or he who embraces. That is the meaning of the word Habakkuk. The one who embraces, or he who clings, who holds on something, or somebody who trying to embrace whatever may be going on in that moment in the society. You just have accepted the reality. Maybe, God, this is what you have destined to my society. This is something you have destined to my family. This is what you have destined to this situation. I embrace it. I accept it. I wouldn't have to fight it. But because of our human nature, time and time, we find ourselves like a wrestler on the ring, wrestling and fighting. You know, most of us play sports. There are some sports, sometimes the only way you can enjoy it is if you understand the language of that sports. Or you know the rules of that particular sports. To me, I love soccer. My family loves soccer. I love ping pong. Of course, I'm champion here. Of course, you know that. Yes, I know you will laugh about that. But the sports of football, which is American football, I don't understand it. And so many times, I have no patience to watch it because I don't understand it. On your football day here, when it's a big day here, if you come to my family, there's no show. Because we don't understand it. But there's something I found about sports. There's one language I found about football. If you know what spike the ball, who knows what that means? Please, just somebody. I saw a lady. My goodness, Josh, come up here, please. Come up here. Over the years, I've told people that I was born twin, and my twin died after birth. Those of you who came to family camp would relate this story. But I never knew that my twin didn't probably die. Somebody gave him away from the hospital. And then because he doesn't want to stay in Africa, and sun will beat him, and he looked dark like I am. So he's somehow finally came to America. And when he came to America, he became a white guy. You see?
Howdy.
And his name is Josh. So it's my twin brother here. So if you were in a family camp, you will know what I'm talking about. Is that right? There you go. So my twin brother Josh is here today. So, bro Josh.
Bro Churchill.
What does it mean to spike the balls? Can you spike the ball and show people like my wife here who doesn't know what spike is? Broche have been love football. You may understand. Oh, Broche, you don't know spike? Could you spike the ball for me?
All right.
And you explain it. Why?
Okay, I'll explain why, as far as I understand. So in football, like most sports, there's a clock, and it winds down. So the most often time you'd see somebody, the quarterback, spike the ball would be like at the end of a quarter, like the second quarter or the fourth quarter, when time's running down and they want to stop the clock. So a spike is actually an incomplete pass. So an incomplete pass in football automatically stops the clock. So you have somebody kind of be like, hut, hut, hike, spike.
Good.
There it goes.
It goes.
The clock is stopped.
Thank you. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. Also, I have seen from the little I watch American football, the ball is thrown. And that ball, somebody there will catch that ball and run. And as he ran to the end zone with the excitement. Did you see that? Did you see that? That is a spike.
He didn't dance.
Oh, he didn't dance. Oh, sorry. You see, somebody collected the ball, running to the end zone with joy and excitement of the victory. The ball that was given to him, he took it and then smashed it on the ground. I use the word smash this time, not spike. So what do you have to say? I want you to look at the book of Habakkuk once more. You need to understand what Habakkuk was going through. When he looked around his society, when he looked at the children of Judea, the people of God, how it looked like something has happened. Something has been smashed. If you look at our society today, look at the marriage. It seems like the marriage has been spiked, smashed on the ground. You look at prayer in public places has been smashed on the ground. You look at marriage relationship has been smashed on the ground. Look at respect, obedience, children, obey your parents. Those things smashed on the ground. How do you respond to that? That is exactly what Habakkuk was struggling about. That was what this prophet was wrestling about. God, how is it that the things I used to see that are holy, that are righteous, smashed in my time, blew on my own face? Habakkuk started wrestling this thing in his heart. To some of our seniors that are here, you must have seen the trend of Christianity in your culture. I can relate to my own. In fact, I just have been here for 20, 21 years, just more time in Reading. I can also tell you the things that I have noticed, the change that has occurred for this period of 20, 21 years I've been writing. So many things seems like smashed on the ground. And so Habakkuk started wrestling for this. But you know what? There are so many times we find ourselves in situations sometimes you don't understand. You begin to wrestle that thing in your heart. You begin to struggle to get a closure, to understand where would this thing go? What would the end be? It didn't start with you. You know the story of Abraham. Abraham wrestled or struggled to understand. God, how do you say you're going to bless me with a child? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years. God, do you still say you're going to bless me with a child? I am an old man. My wife is an old woman. How can this happen? Abraham wrestled for God's blessings. You know the story of Jacob? Jacob wrestled about God. Jacob was a young man. Of course, he was a twin brother. But you know how the story went. Because position and power, the enemy wanted to use position to destroy two brothers. And before you know it, Jacob ran away. And Esau, his brother, who's supposed to be finding a way to maybe to bring peace, to bring unity, he wasn't even helping. You know what Esau did? He knew that the best thing to do is to heighten that problem there. He went and married a wife from a different culture, because you know the story. And that Bible says that that marriage was like a knife went through the family. Jacob lived in exile for almost 37 years. He didn't see his brother. He didn't see his family. But what kind of a life is that? His life was torn. Even though he has prospered, had children, had animals, but his sinful nature never changed. Because we knew the story, as Jacob was to come back again, because you know how God works. God knows how to steer a heart, a strong heart. God knows how to begin to find a way to say, you know, you're not going to live this way for the rest of your life. You've been living in exile for almost 37 years. Go back home. But so on his way home, he met the Lord and started wrestling again about the same problem. So Jacob wrestled. The why I want to tell you this word wrestling, Habakkuk means one who wrestled with God. And so this morning in your heart, whatever is that thing you are going through, you are wrestling, you are struggling. Even right now I'm talking to you, your mind is on it. But I want you to know, God has not left you alone. I have the one I'm wrestling my own heart this morning too. But I know I am not alone. You know the story of Mary Magdalene, the woman of the issue of blood? The Bible calls him the woman with the issues of blood. You see, you never know what it means when people try to stereotype you by what you are, by the way you do things, or the way you come from, or the kind of a job you do, and people just want to define you by that. So look at this woman, Mary. Probably she lives in Palasidro. If she's making her way to Hoyde Market, people will see her, say, ha, she's coming. We know her. She's a woman with issue of blood. People want to stay away from her. So people knew her very much. And she struggled with that. I continue to struggle. But you know, Jesus will make a difference. And so Habakkuk wrestled about how God will use a nation that was so sinful, so corrupt, so evil. How will God use the Babylonians to bring judgment over Judah? He couldn't understand that. It's just like, say, California is praying, say, God, we want you to change our governor of California. Or you're praying, say, God, I want you to change the president of the United States. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you a new president, and I'm going to bring it. It's going to be the president from Nigeria, going to come to be your president here. You say, whoa, what? You mean God? You're going to use the president of Nigeria to change what is happening in America? Lord, I don't understand that. Which one is better? My president here or the president from Nigeria? Those are kind of things Habakkuk was wrestling about. But one thing that all these people had in common, in all their wrestling, they cling back on God. They held back on God. They know that the answer will not come from man, will not come from society. The answer will come from God. So Habakkuk, he clings back on God. He continued to trust that it's going to be all right. So this brings us to the question again. What is Habakkuk Sunday? Habakkuk Sunday is a Sunday designed for every member of our church to come to God with the purpose of hearing him directly in our own personal ways and to share back with our church if anyone chooses to do it. So this Sunday today, we have come to hear the voice of God and then hear what God will say. And then next Sunday when we come back, we will give you the opportunity to share what God said to you, maybe here today or your way home or during the week. Because we know that God speaks. What is the root of this service? Where do we take this service from? If you look at the book of Habakkuk, where we took our test, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Go there with me, please. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Habakkuk said, I will stand on my watch, and then I will position my antenna towards God to hear what God will say. And then what he will say to me, I will turn back and look at how that would be more practical to all these things I'm seeing that is happening around. The question is, why do we need Habakkuk Sunday? Now, let me tell you why we need it. We need it because most of us with our families come to this house 52 or 53 times in a year. We spend about 52, if it's a leap year, it is 53 times Sunday. We all come here. And each time we are here, somebody's talking to us about God. Somebody's talking to us from the Bible. Just think about that. But God created us to speak to us so that we will hear his voice. Christ models relationship between father and son relationship, where the son listen to the Father. In John chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify in you. So everything Jesus did, he did it with his Father. He wanted to give his Father the glory. And so if I am a child of God, the question I'm going to ask myself, how do I give God glory every day in my life? In my business, in my work, in my marriage, in my talk, in my work? How do I give God glory? Even in this kind of situation, in this kind of generation, where everything is spiking on our face, is smashing on our face, how do you give God glory? So Jesus gave his Father glory. God created us with the ability to hear his voice. In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 27, the Bible says, Jesus said here, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. For almost 4 weeks here, somebody was talking to us here about the sheep, the shepherd, the sheep, and the shepherd. But you can agree with me that even right now I'm talking to you, there are too many voices today in the world. When you wake up in the morning, that voice is talking to you. You walk to the bathroom, you're hearing a voice. You're eating, you're hearing a voice. Anywhere you go, you're hearing voices. But the question you're going to ask, out of all these voices you hear, which of those voices are the one that glorified God in my life? Because Habakkuk was seeing a lot of voices around his generations, and every person was following each of their own way of voice. But Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch. I will see what God, I want to hear what God will say to me. There are three voices. In the midst of these 1,000 voices you hear, they come from three sources. Voice of God, voice of man, a voice of Satan. These are three voices we hear in the Bible. In the midst of these 1,000 voices we hear every day, they come from these three avenues. But how do you filter them to know that this is the voice of God? Because when people did not listen properly, you can see many people today that are incarcerated in the prison. Why are they in the prison? Because they listen to the wrong voice. We see some people today who are murderers. Why are they murderers? Because they listen to the voice of Satan. We have wars within and outside around the world. Why do we have wars? Because people listen to the voice of Satan. We have family divisions, marriage breakdowns. Why do we have those things? Because people position their antenna to listen to the voice of Satan. But Habakkuk said, no matter whatever is happening around me, I will put my antenna towards heaven, and then I will hear what God will say to me. So as a child of God, God wants to talk to you. As a sheep of Christ, it's possible that so many times those voices we hear can become a storm or hindrances that can bury our faith in the ground. When we listen to so many voices, not filtering, not knowing which one is which, those voices can become a hindrance to our faith. What do you think about this? Just say on here. You see, I don't know if you've seen it. You see here. Imagine here, this is a ship. I told you for about 4 Sundays, somebody was talking to us about the shepherd, the sheep and the shepherd. Sam says, he will lead you into a greener pasture. Imagine you, or this sheep here, a sheep that one morning woke up, a beautiful pasture, moving around, grazing and eating. And all of a sudden, something begin to drop. Something very whitish begin to drop and begin to drop and begin to drop. Before you know it, it begin to get heavy. And that is snow. Begin to drop. Before you know it, this sheep, the places where he or she was grazing, turned to white. He couldn't find something else to eat. And then he tried somewhere again. When he put the mouth there, everything looked so cold. Ice melt in the mouth. He couldn't find food. And he was still trying to make a distance to find food, because this was a place that was a greener pasture where he grazed around. And before you know it, he couldn't move the leg again. The snow continued getting heavy and heavy upon the sheep until the time the snow hit the sheep and the sheep could not move anymore. Mobility is impossible. The pasture gone. Sometimes our life, our journey, the journey of a sheep, the journey, our journey can look like the sheep here. That was exactly what Habakkuk was talking about. Habakkuk felt like his society, the children of Judah, has been hit with a storm. There are three kinds of storms sometimes that can hit a child of God. And when it hits, the journey becomes so tough. The first storm is what we call sin. Sin is a storm. Habakkuk was, while he was watching the children of Judah, Judah was hit with pride. Before you know it, it wasn't only pride. He got into idolatry. While Habakkuk was still watching, it wasn't only idolatry, he got into murder. He got into drunkenness. You see how the enemy was just hitting this particular tribe with sin. And everything slows down. So Habakkuk was struggling about that, God. So when a child of God was hit with sin, things slows down. And the only thing we hear is to be on a flight mode, to run. You know the story of Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 10, it says, "And they had the voice of the Lord, God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife and themselves hid themselves from God amongst the trees of garden. Moreover, the Lord God called unto Adam and unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." You see, when the sin hit Adam and Eve like a storm, the next thing they did, they ran away. So this morning, I don't know the kind of a habit you could find yourself in that hit you so hard. Sometimes you try to break away, but you continue to hit you so hard. It hit you to the point that you look like that sheep that was buried with snow. The second storm, sometimes that can hit a child of God, is what we call affliction. The storm of affliction. This is when life becomes meaningless. In the book of Job, chapter 2, verse 7 to 8. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." You see, most of us sometimes can find ourselves, even if you not find yourself in it, sometimes we'll get there in the future. When you look, the body of your loved ones gets so weak. Some of us who are here this morning, maybe your loved one is at home. You can't wait. You want to hurry to go back home because you don't know what is happening with your loved ones. But you see, that is part of what life is all about. And that is what we have seen in this sinful nature. Afflictions. Pain. Sometimes we have done everything right. Not your fault. Not your loved one's fault. But still, affliction hits. But where it is so painful is when even your loved one decided to make a ridicule of that affliction. The wife of Job said to Job, "Are you still holding your Christianity? Curse God and die." Maybe she had forgotten her marriage vow, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness, in health, I will. She forgot that. And that was what's so more painful. To those of us who read Julius Caesar, Julius Caesar said that what killed him was not the knife of the commoners, but what killed him was the knife of the Brutus. His own friend, somebody whom he took into his own heart, was the person who stabbed him. So Job here was kind of said, what I'm suffering is not just because the enemy has attacked my flesh, but my own wife asking me to curse God and die. It's hurt. The last storm that can hit a Christian is what they call a storm of desertion or the storm of loneliness. When you feel like you're alone. Many of us are going through that situation now. I am alone. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, chapter 21, verse 1, he said, David went to Nob to Ahimelech, the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met him and asked, "Why are you alone? Why is it no one with you?" You know, remember the story of David, the man who killed Goliath, a strong man. He came a time. He felt he was alone. Do you feel like you're alone this morning? But David later wrote in Psalm chapter 27, verse 10, he says, "When my father and mother will forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Amen. You are not alone. No matter whatever you are going through, God was telling to Habakkuk, no matter whatever you are seeing around yourself, you are not alone. I am with you. You're going to be okay. No matter whatever happened, I hold you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. I am with you. Remember, Jesus was hit with this storm. He was hit when he went to wilderness before he started his ministry. Jesus was praying, and all of a sudden, the Bible says Satan came there to tempt him. He was hit with the temptation of power, the temptation of flesh. But Jesus overcame. When, before he paid for our salvation at Gethsemane, Jesus was hit again with this storm. He said, "Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass over me." So Habakkuk Sunday is opportunity to remind us that there is no victory without trial. So I don't know the trial you are going through this morning. When we are hit with storm, this stress on my mission, we have what we call the contemplations. We contemplate. We want to know why. Because Habakkuk said, "Lord, how long?" The clip I want to show to you now, please. This clip is so graphic. If you know you can't see it, please, I would want you to step out of the church before I show this next video or this next clip. It's so graphic. Hello? The next clip I want to show to you, I repeat, has graphics in it. So by any account, if you know you can't handle it, I would want you to step aside, then I will show that clip. So, when we are hit with the storm, we have these contemplations. And the contemplation is, how long, oh God, how long? Habakkuk chapter 1. Give me that slide, please. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. He says, "How long, O Lord, shall I cry and you will not hear, even cry out to you violence and you will not save?" When we are here with a storm, we contemplate. Why? What you are saying here, this is not a movie. This is just exactly 1 week we were in the church here. Text message was coming to us. People were calling. They said, "Have you heard what happened?" Where this thing happened was about 25, 26 kilometers away where my family pastored last before the Lord called us into the missions. This happened in a church. This is a church. A group of people came into a church and started killing people in the church. A majority of people that were killed, murdered here, are women. This is evil. This is the things we see where we walk. And this is the most reason why we must preach the gospel. Because without preaching the gospel, this is what it turns out to be. Habakkuk said, "Lord, how long will evil men, how long will evil continue to triumph? How long?" How long, O Lord? God's patience has always been tried in all generations. It tries Noah's generations, Sodom and Gomorrah, Nebuchadnezzar. You can just name, people have tried the patience of God. When God holds his patience, when God is patient with man, This is what the man wants to do. But God will no longer hold his patience. Since we saw this about a week ago, our hearts has been melted. We have been in pain for church, body of Christ in Nigeria. This is what they have to live with. So Habakkuk say, Lord, how long? You may be asking that question this morning. So I'm going to give you time this moment and see and hear, see what God will say to you. Can we bow down our head in prayers, please? Our Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you this morning. Thank you because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his mercy. Thank you for his work on the cross of Calvary. Yes, Lord. Habakkuk asks question, how long? We don't know how long it's going to be. But one thing we know, Lord, we belong to you. We love you. We will never let you down. We will never disappoint you. No matter whatever we are going through this morning, Lord, our eyes are you. Thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. And so, we want to do our praise and prayer this morning. In the praise and prayer this morning, this is the way we want to do it this morning. We want to pray, going to be praying for one of our family members here, Jenny Bonogaski. She's not here. She requested us to pray for her cousin, Tamara, who had to have her baby induced. She said they expected the baby to be okay, but Tamara is having complications. This is her third child, and she's, what is that? Pronounce that again for me, please.
Vivacious.
Okay. Believer in the Lord Jesus. Please pray for her and the baby's healing and protection. Thank you. But we get another place. What is? And a praise and prayer also to, this was a friend of mine in town here who is supporting